Welcome, everybody, to Heroes Asylum TV Room. I am your host, Mike. I am taking on a little journey through a Star Wars, a Clone Wars, here on the TV Room. TV Room is just not about Star Wars and Clone Wars. It has been recently, but as soon as this season wraps up, we'll be jumping into another series and then doing some breakdowns of other long-running series, hopefully, here. That's the plan. But to get everything rolling, we decided to start off with the Clone Wars since this is its final season. I am a episode late. I do apologize. Had some things that came up last week. But I'm going to kind of condense last week's episode for episode 7 for A Dangerous Debt. And then we're going to talk about the newest release of episode 8. Together again for the Clone Wars. Episode 7 kind of like did a quick like loop around, just did a quick 360, and we ended up right back where we began. So we'll break down into that. But guys, make sure you guys do check out heroesasylum.com, where you can find us for Heroes Asylum, this podcast, as well as our Midnight Movies, where we break down different styles of movies. We're doing in the middle of this year, we're in the middle of doing a massive Marvel Infinity Saga rundown for 12 movies that we think are the most important of the full Infinity Saga, if you just want to jump into these 12 instead of doing the whole decade long one of the movies. So, but we'll go ahead and get started here. Like I said, we're starting on, I'm just going to do a quick recap for the season 7 Dangerous Debt. We last saw the three ladies, Ahsoka, Rafa, and Trace. They had been captured by the Pikes because they had dumped their spice cargo in hyperspace, just because Rafa was kind of, not Rafa, I'm sorry about that, Trace was kind of freaking out about what's going to happen. So they just dumped it out. So then basically in episode 7, we do a quick, just kind of a prison break episode is what it breaks down to be. They run around trying to get out of this prison. We do see Ahsoka using a little bit more force power. She has kept it hidden. Now, I think the biggest thing that came out of episode 7 so far was we did understand that the Martez sisters had some issues with the Jedi. They didn't like the Jedi because, you know, and of course, you know, we're all thinking, oh, was it just because of, you know, what we've seen Palpatine, you know, some of his shady propaganda videos that he's been throwing out there, or, you know, is it just, you know, just the talk? But we come to find out that there was a episode that I think it was the episode when Zero, the Hutt, if we all remember Zero, we all love Zero, when he broke out during that battle. It kind of happened in between episodes, but during that battle, a ship crashed into one of the sides of the buildings in level 1313, which is where Rafa and Trace's parents and them lived, and the parents were able to force them out of the apartment before a shuttlecraft crashed in there, and they felt that the Jedi's were very cold and distant on the death of their parents. Drawing a blank, unfortunately, sorry about that, guys, of who it was that did talk to them. There was a green-skinned Jedi, and just she said, you know, the Force will provide, basically. There's made reference to Cad Bane as being a red-eyed alien. He, I guess he was part of the accident. So we do know, I think it was season 3, that we did see Zero break out. Cad Bane was part of that, but we didn't see this incident that we're talking about. So now Ahsoka understands the hatred and now really is trying to hide her Force abilities because, she, you know, the hatred they feel towards Jedi and that she once was a Jedi. We see her use it a few times, forcing. She does a Force push to get, I believe it was Rafa, across the bridge that was opening up. We also see her do a Force jump. So there are moments of that. We also see her break out of prison by unlocking the prison cell using the Force. But then as things just kind of wrap up, with the girls get recaptured, re-put back into the same prison again. Now, the one thing I think I really, really loved about the Dangerous Debt was that this was a heavy throwback to A New Hope as far as characters in the background. If you actually look at the characters that are in the background in the prison, on their when they have escaped to the city area around the Citadel where they're kept hidden, kept prison, you'll find a lot of very familiar faces in the crowd. They're pretty much a lot of the same characters that we saw in the cantina scene in New Hope. There's even one of the creatures, and I had him written down from last week and my notes vanished on me. But one of the creatures, he was a green-skinned creature, but he had like an orange vest on. There's a version of him in there, but he's all in blue. Now, the blue character is actually a nod and a throwback to a toy line that they came out with that was a heavy collector's because he was only released in limited edition, but it was a blue suited one. So I think that was a kind of pretty cool throwback. But if you just take a look in the background when you rewatch that, you'll see some amazing throwbacks on there. Which brings us to episode 8. This one for Together Again. It's a mixture of double entendre with this for what happens through the series or through this episode. As far as what we see, what Together Again really means. I've got Clone Wars already played up and queued up and ready to go. So guys, jump in. We'll go ahead and, you know, you can see the opening one is you can change who you are, but you cannot change yourself. And we get just a quick rundown of where we've been, just what I've talked to you about. This one is going to also do some pretty heavy throwbacks. They've been really good. I think Dave Filoni and the team have done really well as adding your little Easter eggs in. And I guess it's one of those things that George always said. You know, George Lucas always made a comment about how great stories are rhythms. There's a rhythm to it. And you can see this rhythm more and more in this. And I think also part of the rhythm is visual rhythms. You're familiar with this you're familiar with that. But on this, what we're eventually going to see is we will see the sisters are being confronted by the Pikes for Markim. And he will, you know, give them basically an ultimatum. You must do this or you must do that. Ahsoka, now knowing what the sisters feel about the Jedi, that she makes the call, really. And she just tells them, hey, you know what? I'm going to go pick up the spice. I'll be here. But in the meantime, she's hoping the sisters will take this open opportunity to escape and let Ahsoka do her thing. Now, what we eventually find out is Mark Kim is actually afraid of somebody. We get hints of a shadowy figure. He talks about him, and he's not going to be happy. What we eventually do find out later on is that it is the head of the Pikes, head of the Shadow Syndicate. And if anybody is unfamiliar with that, make sure you guys check out Son of Dathomir. It's a small comic book run, and it does a breakdown of the history of the Pikes in the Shadow Syndicate and who truly is in the lead. If anybody's seen Solo yet, then the guys definitely know who we're referring to. But as the sisters are going to be able to leave, they actually decide to play a little trick and run over to some of the spice mines and play a trick on them and gather up some spice to in turn pay the Pikes back, which I think is actually a really nice twist. Is okay, we're in trouble here. Let's pay back the people we're in trouble with those their own spice. So they're stealing from the Pikes to pay the Pikes back. Kind of a tricky situation. And the more and more we see of these Martez sisters, the more I can't wait. Hopefully we will see more of them. Obviously, I know we're at the end of Clone Wars. And who knows, maybe Clone Wars, this rebirth of it, may stem a rebirth of Rebels. I do like where Rebels ended, so I really don't want to see that. But I'd like to see the Martez sisters other places. I think, you know, they're in their infancy of becoming, you know, the scoundrels of the universe. I'd love to see their interaction with a young Han Solo, because I mean, he is, you know, a little bit before Solo, but no, actually, no, this I think this is around the time of Solo. So I'd really like to see their interaction with him and even the young Lando. We obviously have already seen a Lando reference early on. I think it was on the second episode of this arc, story arc. So I want to say probably episode 5 or 6. There's writing on the wall to refer to Calrissian, that the laundromat that the Rafa and Trace own most likely was an old Calrissian property. Here we go. We get to see the Silver Ghost, I believe is what she was called. Not a pretty ship, just to say. So again, like I was saying, we gotten the sisters. They've gone over. They went to the spice mine to take the spice. Now, some of the small creatures that are running it may look very familiar to you. What you're looking at is a species from the planet Tong. If you guys remember from episode 1, Phantom Menace, during the pod races, there was one of the racers, Ben Quadarin, probably butchering his last name. Sorry, Ben. But that Ben is the same species there. Now, once they actually get to, you know, there and they're arguing with the Tong species, they talk and make reference to their manager. Their manager actually comes across and is a Transdosian. Transdosian reptile is the reptilian species, best known probably for Bossk from Empire Strikes Back, the bounty hunter, as well as the group from The Mandalorian who tried to take the child away. It's episode 1, I think, actually. It's episode 1 or 2. I'm trying to remember off of that one. It's been about a year since I've seen it. I need to rewatch The Mandalorian. But yeah, he is a Transdosian. We see them a lot, usually very rough. Now, if you'll notice on the helmet of the Transdosian, the manager, the shipping yard manager, I guess is what he is called, you'll see a symbol on his helmet. It's a modified version of the pike symbol. I'm not sure the reason for the modification. Maybe because they are slaves or more grunt workers, maybe they have a different version of it. But as this is all taking place, Ahsoka has decided, you know, the girls are gone. I'm able to actually finally use my abilities full force. And she unlocks herself, releases herself from her cell, and begins basically kind of snooping around, trying to get an idea, trying to get out of there. She does find a group of bombs and starts planting bombs around the citadel that they're located at. And plans to, you know, destroy them because she does not expect the Martez sisters to come back. So she wants to just destroy this, make a mark. As all this is also going on, we are seeing some Mandalorians hanging out around. We saw them last episode. The voice, if nobody was familiar with the voice, was actually of Bo-Katan. She's a sister of Satine, who, if anybody has been a fan of the Clone Wars, Satine was the love interest of Obi-Wan. She eventually was killed by Maul. So there's, you know, that constant battle between Maul and Obi-Wan. Satine, or Bo-Katan, actually took over. She was the head of the Night Watch. They are no longer called Night Watch. They're referring to themselves as the Night Owls. They're trying to gain control back over of Mandalore because Maul took control of Mandalore, then put a figurehead in charge of it. So he was just so that he doesn't need to be known as the ruler of Mandalore. He just controls it in the background, a shadowy figure, just like he was taught, you know, with the Sith. Also with Bo-Katan is Ursa Wren, and if anybody's familiar with the Rebels series, Ursa Wren is the mother of Sabine Wren, who is our Mandalore partner in the Rebels series. A big fan of Sabine, and it's great that they're showing this interweaving world that they are all connected at. You know, we saw that in the main storyline of Star Wars with the Skywalker family. And now here in the sub-stories and the sub-genres, we're seeing that interweaving of the family and the bloodlines. I'd like it, but I've one of the things I've always said about Star Wars, it's a massive universe. why do we keep tripping over the same bloodlines? It just to me, it just doesn't make sense. But we are seeing different bloodlines, which I'm fine with. It's a change. So hopefully, you know, even with Mandalore, the series, we haven't seen a connection with anybody yet. But who knows? It will come. We're back at the shipping yard where the spice mines are, and we see that the Trandoshan manager and Rafa begin to battle. And this is one of the things that I was really excited about and to see, because she's always seemed more not, you know, conniving. Not to see her, you know, I've never saw her as somebody, you know, a physical, you know, adversary. But she definitely does pull that off. And of course, we get to see how Trace is. And we're seeing the signs of Trace being, we saw a couple of signs earlier of her, you know, having a, you know, basically some really hardcore guts on her and being able to do this. Now we're seeing more and more of that she can definitely hold her own. She doesn't need her sister really, but you're seeing more of the sisterly love and like a companionship that, no, they want each other there. But we don't need each other. As the fight is going on, we go back to the Pike's Citadel, where we see Markim talking to a shadowy figure, and we see the chin, the cheeks. So we understand this is Maul. And we, again, like I was saying before, we do know Maul has taken over for the Pikes. He's taken over the Crimson Dawn, and also, you know, the Shadow Syndicate. So this is an overall, you know, he is the Jabba that we always thought. You know, Jabba was this big, massive gangster. No, Maul has taken that over, and he's working in the underground, basically controlling the underground, which I think is a great change to his character. We do see Maul is looking and senses, it seems, that he does sense Ahsoka there, but doesn't really tip anybody off to it. It's very interesting. It's not like he screams it, but he does talk to his subordinates. Again, you have Markim there, you have Fife, and they, you know, decide to start looking for her. We did see that this connection with Maul, you know, again, like I said, in Solo, because he was part of the Crimson Dawn. Kira, at the very end of Solo, we see Kira talking to Maul again in a shadowy hologram way, and it's one of the big things with Maul's character. It's one of those consistencies we always see with him, is holographic meetings, something my co-host on Heroes Asylum loves, the holographic meetings in semicircles. Now, as Ahsoka's running away, she finds out where Maul is sending his signal from, and we come to find out here that he is truly on Mandalore. And if nobody's read about it, we do understand that this series will end with the Siege of Mandalore. And that's a connection, because this episode will end with sort of the beginning of the Siege of Mandalore, in which will leave us with only 4 episodes left. We don't know much about the Siege of Mandalore, except there are some events and battles alluded to in the novel of Ahsoka. If anybody's interested in reading that, it's a really good book. Especially if you're an Ahsoka fan and you have never read that, the two takeaway reads I think are definitely Darth Maul, Son of Dathomir, which is a comic book, and then of course the Ahsoka series. But here we go. We do see that the girls are getting the spices loaded up and ready to leave. Again, her, the Trandoshan and Rafa do take a go. Imano Imano, we see with the help of with Trace that Rafa is able to defeat him. Ahsoka is eventually recaptured once she notices and gets the information for where Maul is. The Pikes are able to capture her, get her back in prison again. Thankfully, that's not where we're left off. I do like last episode, but I think last episode it just basically was a big loop. And then when the girls come back to drop off the spice, that is when Ahsoka and the Martez sisters come face to face with the truth that Ahsoka is a Jedi. She says, "I was a Jedi." And they both in turn go, "You can leave. You can leave." You know, it's more about, you know, Ahsoka is now just a Force user. Probably, I think this is the birth and the beginning of the Ahsoka the White, with, you know, not being a Jedi, but being one with the Force. Very Qui-Gon Jinn in their teachings. That Qui-Gon was always one for bucking the system when it came to Jedis. And I think you can definitely see that. Obi-Wan definitely was trained by Qui-Gon. Anakin was not, but he definitely had the tendencies of a Qui-Gon, even though he was never really truly influenced by him as far as teachings go. Now, this space battle that takes place there in these mountains and these valleys is great. If you actually listen to the soundtrack on it, you'll actually hear the orchestration for not the trench run from New Hope, but actually the internal battle. And I wish I could remember the name of the score from Return of the Jedi, when they were zipping through the Death Star. And so, yeah, very familiar, again, those familiar rhythms that George talks about, and I talked about earlier, that you're seeing a space battle, running a trench, very limited space. And now we see what Trace is really made of as a pilot here. She takes a chance, and it puts her on par with a Han Solo as far as, you know, her guts, her faith in her ship, and, you know, basically a lot of good luck. And we see the Pike zipping into the, in true Star Wars fashion, see the Pike zipping into the a piece of rock or structure. We are seeing the Mandalorian ship now following him, and I love the look of from the inside of the Mandalorian ship. Very, very similar in feel to being inside of Slave One on Empire Strikes Back, as they're following as Boba Fett was following the Millennium Falcon. I thought that was a nice little touch, but you just get a brief glimpse of it. It's a very cool looking ship. It's a very small ship, sleek starship. They think they call it the Kamrick class fighter. We've seen it before, so it's nothing new. It is something that came from the Clone Wars earlier seasons. And you actually will see this again in the Rise of Skywalker, not the ship itself, I don't think, but the actual just design as part of the Republic ships that volunteer to fight the Final Order over Exegol. So, I mean, it definitely some good nods. If nobody, you know, we all were trying to freeze frame the battle scenes for in Last Skywalker to see what ships were there. That was one of the ones that I was able to see. And here towards the end, we see the understanding of the sisters and kind of the understanding of who Ahsoka is to them. That, you know, we understand that you were not part of that, and not all Jedis are like that. So, something to, you know, it's one of the very, very cool ideas. Now, here we actually get to see the Mandalorians, the Night Owls, and actually see Bo-Katan's face again. And she's asking Ahsoka to join. We see a hologram again of Maul. And this leads directly into the next story arc, which I think this was a cool transition. The last story arc just kind of ended. We did see Anakin and one of the fighters at the beginning of the Rafa sisters story arc, but this one is a direct smooth transition into the last four episodes. That's right, guys, we only have four episodes left of Clone Wars, and a big four episodes. I can't believe that what's getting ready to happen happens in four episodes. That's a lot of action. a lot of storyline to take place here, and I just cannot wait to see what route they go. I mean, we all really know what happens, but we don't know the steps and the events that take place. So it's kind of like watching the Titanic. You know what happened. You just don't know how it happened. I think this is the next four episodes will be great, and hopefully a great send off to the Clone Wars animated series, which I'm sad to see go. I'm a huge fan of this series. I love what they've done to open up the Star Wars world more. Hopefully after this, maybe not doing a Rebels, but maybe starting another series, an animated series, to open up the world more. I know they were trying that with the Star Wars Resistance, and that kind of died off. Hopefully after all of our quarantine time, the folks over at Star Wars will put their heads together and come out with a new story, maybe something further, you know, in the background of the last trilogy, you know, to give us some more filler. There is a lot of filler out there. You just have to look for it, guys. I know a lot of people don't like doing that for Star Wars. They want to get everything in the big screen, but there's a lot of filler out there, or, you know, filler information and entertainment. But I'm glad you guys were able to sit down, hang out with me today. I know everybody's in quarantine. And I am too. So here at Heroes Asylum, we've been pumping out some stuff. We've got almost weekly, we've got 2 to 3 episodes of different of our movie watch-alongs, the Star Wars watch-alongs, the regular Heroes Asylum, and there's other ideas we've been kicking around. So hopefully we will see you guys very shortly. And make sure you guys check us out on Facebook and on Twitter. Twitter, our handle is Heroes Asylum Podcast. Check us out there. We're doing stuff every day of every week, something to keep everybody's mind off of what's been going on. And I hope to see you guys at the other end of this. As everything is still planned, we do have our Comic-Con or a KaiserCon, sorry, coming up in June. So hopefully we can see you guys out there. We'd love to see everybody's faces. Everybody's going to be happy to get out and get some fresh air. In true Heroes Asylum fashion, get to the asylum.